So welcome, everybody. This is Elaine, and it's Wednesday, April 15th, and we're in the Coaches Club on Wednesday at 11 Eastern Time. And today we're going to be talking about not taking things personally and compassion, which are sort of connected with each other and two of my favorite topics, but I always say that, so you're getting used to that. And I want to just start with checking. We haven't talked for a couple of weeks because we had spring break last week, and a lot of people had spring break. So just sort of check into what's going on with everybody. What do you want to celebrate before we get started? So let's bottom line it. I want to use our time well, but I definitely want to start with a celebration. So what's going well? And Cheryl, if you want to celebrate the story you just shared, that's cool, or something else.
This sounds so mundane, but it is a celebration. We posted the after-school routine on the refrigerator, so that's been great because when she's resisted following the routine, we're like, there it is. So can't argue with that. So it's she's been a lot more compliant about following it.
Oh, brilliant. Right. A little visual reminder.
Yeah.
Love that. Cool. Who else? Somebody else has joined us from the 404 area code. Who's that?
It's Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi there.
Have a celebration?
Yes, we have developed a code word in our family, and we've all pinky sworn that when the code word is said to us, we're going to try our best not to get irritated that somebody's code wording us. So,
oh, I love it.
It has to do with our summer vacation. We're going to do a trip to, part of the trip is going to Pennsylvania, and the girls want to go to Hershey's Chocolate World and take the tour. So the code word is Hershey Chocolate.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
And what's it a code for?
Well, it's to remember to use gentle words with each other, to try to pause before we react, because we keep thinking about being in the cramped car and in the hotel room with each other for a week or two.
Yeah.
We want to be as calm as possible.
Yeah, I love it. So it's a code word to remind you to sort of take that breath.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Cool. Other celebrations.
This is Megan. Our celebration has been the amount of reading that my son has been doing.
Cool.
He's never, he often does not initiate reading on his own, but every break, his school has a reading challenge and the classrooms compete to see who can do the most reading over breaks. And he really got into it over spring break and just read and read and read, and he ended up winning the prize in his class for reading the most minutes.
That's such a classic ADD story, isn't it?
He was very, very hyper-focused.
That's right. It's like, I'm not interested. Okay, now I'm interested.
Right, yeah. We had to take books with us when we went on a little two-night trip, and he read the whole way there in the car.
Great. Awesome. So who else? I love that. Thank you. Gina, you got a celebration?
Yes. The last call that I was on, I was talking to my older son about why he kind of goes with today, I guess, but I was supposed to talk to him about why he was always just kind of mean to me, I guess, you know, for no reason. And so I did sit down and talk with him, and he ended up telling me his brother and sister were getting on his nerves and he was taking it out on me. So I was glad to hear that, because he actually, instead of just saying, I don't know, So it was nice to hear some feedback, and we had been working on getting him in his own bedroom, and 2 days ago we finally got him in his own bedroom. So we're excited about that, and we're hoping to see some changes between the two boys, you know, constantly at each other's throats. So.
Brilliant. Well, and I love that he was able to say to you, it's really not you, Mom.
Yeah, I was really shocked, but I was glad to hear that as well.
Well, and it is a great tie-in to today, so we'll come back to that in a minute. But anybody else have a celebration you want to share? I think we heard from Lisa, Julia, Megan, and Dina. Did we get from everybody? Cheryl, do you want to add something?
She got good grades again.
Awesome.
A B honor roll, that's good. She
that
still got
really
lunch
good.
Detention, but but she still got good grades.
Awesome. Beautiful. And she knew what to do when you went into shock, which, you know,
yes.
You cannot underestimate, because that's some serious life skill.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's take a minute to take aim. What do you want to focus on this week? And again, let's move through it bottom line, and if you need help clarifying it, let's talk it out. But what do you want to focus on or take aim on this week? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. This is Megan.
Great.
I want to take aim on helping my son with his verbal impulse. I've talked a little bit before about how he just has a problem interrupting. Mm-hmm. And yesterday when we were meeting with his doctor, his doctor, you know, really noticed what a problem it was and told Charlie that that's what he wants him to work on the most. And we're having a meeting with his therapist today, and we'll be talking about that. So I think maybe the fact that it's coming from some other people and not just me
mm-hmm.
might help him.
Right.
And
yep.
I just want to keep, you know, giving him general reminders and giving him tools and strategies to...
Great.
Stop.
Love that.
Yeah.
I have a great one that I'll share with you, but I love that it's coming from other places. So you're reinforcing what he's trying to do instead of having it be what you want.
Right.
That's great. All right. Who else? Where are we taking aim this week? Come on, guys. Do I really need to call on you?
I'll go. It's Lisa. I'll go.
Okay, yeah.
Something I've been working on for myself is the shifting of expectations to naturally assume best intentions and to also have in the back of my mind they're doing the best that they can do. And I kind of had this epiphany Sunday night, and the last couple of days have just been magical. And it's not because their behavior is that different. It's just because my mindset is switched. I think I'm finally getting it. So I just want to continue to work on that for myself.
Wow.
Because,
okay.
Because, so. Yeah, it really is helping them, I think, because I'm a little more relaxed. Anyway.
So you want to stay connected with this mindset that they're doing the best that they can.
Yeah.
Awesome. Beautiful. Okay, who else?
So this is Julia. I don't know if this, I feel like this is indicative, like, of ADHD, but maybe let me know. Is this a normal thing that ADHD kids, as far as eating goes, that they'll like a food for a couple times and then they suddenly don't like it anymore?
I don't know if that's an ADD thing or a kid thing, but I think it's, you know, sometimes they may get bored with it, like if they're having it a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. if that's an ADD. Has anybody else heard, seen that happen a lot?
My kids do it all the time.
I think they like it, and then they
don't want it one day, so they'll go, I don't like that. And you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah. They just don't feel like it. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if this is like just a different medical issue or if this is like an ADD thing. We just have a lot of food challenges, a lot of food challenges. So I'm trying to figure out what the aim would be.
So be more specific, when you say there are a lot of food challenges, what's the change you want to see?
I want to see her eat more.
Eat more of something specific, or eat more of anything, or
Something nutritious. I mean, not junk, but just eat more of the foods that count, without taking a few bites and being like, I'm done. And I feel like I've made it. Like, I feel like maybe I've created a problem because I've focused so much on it. Like, no, you need to eat more. You need to eat more. And I think because I put energy into it, I think it's gotten worse. Maybe it's a control thing.
I was going to say, I do see eating as a huge control thing in ADD families.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing is that you wanted to eat better, but you also want to pull back from the nagging on it?
Yes. Yeah, like I don't want to be mom always pushing this through. I want it to come from her.
Well, and how old is she?
She just turned 9.
Okay. So developmentally, how old is she?
Okay, probably 5.
So is that a realistic expectation?
Probably not. What, that she would, on her own, want to eat? Probably not.
Right. Okay. So what is a realistic expectation?
That she would want to eat chips or bad candy or bad stuff.
Pretty much. So given that, like being realistic about it, now where do you want to take aim? What's the change you want to see?
I want to see her make good choices.
Okay, so how about making better choices?
Okay.
Right. Because it's not reasonable to expect her to choose what a 15-year-old might choose.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to push you a little bit here. How, like, what does better look like?
Not processed.
How often?
Let's say at dinner time, because lunch at school and breakfast, we've got it. So basically at dinner time to encourage her to make better choices.
So we want her to be eating better at dinner.
Yes.
Okay.
And more.
Well, which is it?
Honestly, at this point, eating more because she's withering away.
Okay, so you want her to eat more dinner.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you. That was very helpful. I was having trouble with that.
Okay, who else? Where do we take a name?
This is Gina. I'll go. Well, you're going to have to help me, I think, to narrow it down, but even though my, son wants to blame his aggravation on his other two siblings, which I do know that they get on his nerves, I also believe that he is, it's hormones, too. And so, he's my oldest, so this is something totally new to me, and I'm not always sure how to react sometimes because, he's becoming a lot more sensitive. So something I could, say to him before, he would laugh, and now he gets really mad at me. And I'm like, if I joked and said something about his hair or whatever, I mean, he's totally acting
remind me, he's, 14?
No, he's 10 and a half.
He's 10. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be a little early for hormones. It's possible this day and age.
I know.
It's a little early.
I that's what I thought, but I'm telling you, I think he's going through it. It's crazy.
Okay.
And I think that's hard for me
too. What's the change that you want to see?
Well, I guess I'll focus more on me right now, and it will probably be maybe I need to be more. Gosh, I don't know. But I was going to say more sensitive, but I don't think I was ever being the opposite of that. Maybe reacting better to his responses.
Okay. So you really want to take aim on how you respond when he gets triggered.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great. And it, again, today's topic is a perfect match for that.
Okay.
Okay. Who else? Who'd we miss? I think we've, Megan, have we gotten you yet? We got you. And Cheryl?
Yeah, I guess I'll sort of, what somebody else said, like they're doing the best they can. Because it's my birthday this weekend, and, you know, my ADHers are typically not very good at planning stuff.
Ah.
You know, so, like, I just want to enjoy it and not have a lot of expectations or, you know, think that they should plan and do this and that, kind of like I do for them. They typically aren't good at that, so...
So I think what I'm hearing is you want to just sort of be grateful be present and grateful and enjoy.
Yes, yes. Because Grandma, my husband, and my daughter are all ADHD.
Right.
So.
Okay. So just being present and enjoying what is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of that is about managing your own expectations, right?
Right.
Okay. But who do we miss? I feel like we missed somebody. One, two, did we miss anybody? Three, four, five. Okay. Well, I guess we got everybody. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the topic for today, and many of these dovetail beautifully into it, so that's always easy and nice. Today is sort of a joint topic. Part of what happens sometimes is when Diane and I had more topics than we had time to include, sometimes we would find two that blended together and mix them together. So in some ways, there are two topics today. It's about don't take it personally, not taking things personally, and really having compassion for their experience. And you can see how they sort of tie in with each other, right? So there's sort of two things I guess I really want to say about it. One is when it comes to not taking things personally, so often we have this tendency, we sort of go through the world in terms of how the world interacts with us. And that's normal. We're human and we have egos and it's about us. But when it comes to parenting, and frankly, when it comes to almost every relationship, when we begin to realize that other people are having that same experience, everybody else is going through the world with their own ego thinking about themselves too, it gives us a way to approach people differently without owning their stuff, right? So, you know, the example we use in the workbook is that when our kid is spaced out or not listening, we say, he won't listen to me. Or when your child is frustrated and blowing up, we say, he's disrespectful. But the truth is, your child is spaced out or your child is angry or frustrated, and he is having his experience in the world. And we are bumping up against it, right? It's like, if you can imagine, we're all... you know those old ball pits when the kids were little? There were all these balls in a ball pit. Well, we are all balls in a ball pit, and we're sort of moved around and jostled against each other, and sometimes they bump into each other, and sometimes they don't. But we can't – the goal here is to not take it personally when other people are having their experience and it's impacting us potentially negatively. So it's about seeing people's experience, and you've hit on it in a lot of ways in the way you're taking AIM today. We've talked about assuming best intention, recognizing that they're doing the best that they can. Megan, you're talking about recognizing that your son is struggling with this verbal impulsivity, right? And Gina, you're talking about how do you respond when he gets triggered. So all of this is about not taking it personally when other people are having their experience in the world and things aren't going well for them. Because it's easy when things are going well for them. They're excited, they're happy, and we are happy for them. Although sometimes if somebody else is excited and happy, we see them as being prideful or boastful, right? Because we're having our own reaction to it. And I know it's hard to say, just try not to take it personally. But if you really begin to see yourself as one entity and to see the people in your lives as separate human beings with their own thoughts and feelings and motivations, then it becomes easier to begin to see what their motivations might be and to see what might be influencing their behavior instead of assuming that it's about us, right? And so this is about, sometimes I talk about in terms of being responsive instead of being reactive, right? When we're responsive, we can have compassion for their experience, and that's where compassion ties in, right? This is about being understanding about somebody else's dynamic or experience or struggle, and accepting that that's part of what's influencing their behavior instead of making their behavior about us. So the best way to do this, of course, is to sort of put yourself in your child's eyes and into their headspace. What does it feel like when they're struggling? What are they thinking about when they can't do something that's asked of them and they think they should be able to or their peers are able to? How does that influence them? I was thinking about, we had this great webinar last year from Jerome Schultz from Harvard who talks about anxiety and ADHD. And what he's saying is that when kids with anxiety, when you tell them they can do it and they don't believe that they can, it actually can exacerbate the anxiety because now not only do they not believe they can, but now they're disappointing you. So the point here is that their experience is very real for them, and when we can get into their shoes and begin to see how they see the world, that's a great way to support them, have compassion for them, and then, as Lisa was talking about, really give them the benefit of the doubt and not have their issues be about us. So I want to stop there and sort of open it for some conversation about this. What are y'all thinking about? What are you noticing? What's coming up? Let's talk about it some before we do some coaching around it. What are you thinking?
So this is Julia. So back to the when you say you can do it, and then they maybe add anxiety, then how do you encourage them?
Well, so what Dr. Schultz would say was you might say, I know you can do it. Do you think you can do it? And if they say no or they don't believe that they can, then you begin to address that. So really, and maybe it's helping them show some way in which they have done something similar in the past. So you begin to show them little pieces of mastery, if you will, so that they can build on those successes.
Okay.
But there are times where I'll say, I get that you don't think you can, and just so you know, I know that you can, and it's okay that you don't know that you can yet. You will, and I'm going to help you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Thank
you.
So
that you acknowledge their experience as real. And you don't say, because, you know, isn't it the worst thing in the world when something happens and someone says, oh, don't feel that way? Right.
Right, you do.
Mm-hmm. You do. You feel that way. So instead of telling them not to feel that way, you want to acknowledge their feeling and then help them see something else that's possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So what else is coming up? Is it how does taking things personally show up in your families? For anybody in your family, you or anybody else. Go ahead.
This is Megan. my husband takes it very personally when my son, you know, doesn't follow his directions or talks back to him. And I don't know how to make it better, because they just, he takes it personally and says something else to my son, and then he gets more, you know, upset and disrespectful, and it's kind of just like this cycle that builds and builds.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you think's going on for your husband?
Well, I think it's always bothered him that he and my son, they've never really clicked. They just, their relationship is not as natural. And I think that bothers him a lot.
So what do you think's the message that he's telling himself?
Maybe that he just doesn't understand his own child.
Sort of an I don't get this kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he makes a lot of comments like, if I would have done that when I was such and such age, you know, I would have gotten this done to me, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you feel like, do you want to have a conversation with your husband about this?
I do. I want to try to help the situation and help him, but at the same time, I'm not always the best source of help for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally get that. So I guess where I would point you is to start with compassion for what his experience is.
Okay.
Right. Like, what's happening for your husband? What's the disappointment that he's experiencing? What are the messages he's telling himself about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there could be messages of, I must be doing something wrong. I must not be a good enough parent.
Right.
You know? Right. And so
right.
If you look at that place for him, what's happening for him, and have some compassion for it, it may open up a different way to have a conversation with him. Not to tell him what he should be doing, but to just acknowledge that that's hard.
Yeah.
And sometimes acknowledgement, guys, can be so powerful. Because when we're not acknowledged, that's when we tend to get resentful or feel condescended or feel disrespected, right?
Right.
So anybody, anything else coming up for anybody else? Is this a common experience for other people?
Yeah.
I know I see it at my house a lot.
We have the exact same situation. She was like, my husband and my daughter really don't understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he feels like he needs to lay in, because I think he thinks like, oh, if we haven't been on this, we got to take care of this now before she's 15, you know, and it just blows up.
Right. Right. So there's a pacing yourself thing here. It's like we're afraid, we're fearing forward that if we don't fix this now, this is going to be a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that adds to that tendency to react.
Mm-hmm.
So in all of these cases, what do you think the dads in this case are taking personally? Or what's possible that they might be taken personally?
I think the lack of following their directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think what I hear most of all is a sense that the kids are being disrespectful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, So what do you know that's true that maybe their dads don't know yet?
Maybe how hard it is to be them.
Yeah. It is so hard to be them, isn't it? I mean, sometimes I think, God, you have such a fascinating brain. It's a fascinating place. And then sometimes I think, I am so glad I'm not in that brain. Right.
I think in our case, it's that my son just, a lot of times he doesn't get it. He doesn't get that he's being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't get that what he's doing is, you know, not appropriate or not nice.
Mm-hmm. So when that's the case, how do you tend to handle it?
A lot of times I just have to step in and go talk to my son. And I've tried to explain to my husband that ignoring is usually the best strategy, because if you ignore it, it will go away. But if you keep responding to it and poking it and prodding it, then it just grows and grows.
Yeah.
But he thinks that ignoring it is letting him get away with it,
mm-hmm.
and telling him that it's okay.
Right. And you can see with limited information and education, you can see how he would see it that way.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, this concept, we spent all year together working on this issue of we can only take aim on one thing at a time and really think through that one thing before we start working on everything at once, because if we try to do everything at once, it makes everybody crazy. But that's a really hard concept. I mean, think about it. It's been hard for a lot of us to grasp, and we've been doing this every other week, right?
Uh-huh.
It's a hard concept. I've been doing this for years, and my husband still sometimes struggles with that concept. But they've got so many things they're responsible for, right? And it may be, and I don't want to dive totally into solution mode, but for a lot of these scenarios, if we could help our spouses see, to be able to say, okay, if this is really important to you, let's take aim on this. Let's choose one thing to really focus on changing and try to let everything else go a little bit. And let's take this one thing really really seriously and see if we can make some change on that. Because it may be that if we start to take aim, teach them how to take aim and see some success, they'll begin to see the benefit. Does that resonate for people? I take that silence as a no.
You're saying teach our husbands how to focus on just one thing.
Yeah, I mean, but to choose something to focus on, you know, we always come in and say, what do we want to take aim on? Maybe if part of the goal is to engage our spouses in this process a little bit more and understanding a little better,
yeah,
then maybe it would help to help them to work on something with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally just had this conversation with my husband last night, like, around my son, around something. And I said, he was getting really frustrated. Like, I said, why don't we take aim on that? Why don't we really focus on seeing what we can do to make change in that one area?
Mm-hmm.
And I could sort of see him trying to process it, you know? because they do want everything, because they are afraid that their kids aren't going to be ready for life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's an even more of a male thing than a female thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than taking aim on teaching your husband not to take it personally, because he's going to react to, more than likely he's going to respond to you trying to school him, right? I know
right.
that mine would. maybe if we work together as a team to sort of choose a behavior of our child's that we want to see changed and let him begin to see how the process works, that can also have some ripple effect in being a little more patient with the process. Because part of this is about having patience with the process. It takes time for all of these changes to happen and for people to learn to manage themselves. And it takes
mm-hmm.
more time for our kids to learn to manage themselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more time.
Mm-hmm.
So not taking it personally, part of that, I think, is about being patient with the process. Does that ring true for people?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's interesting that we ended up in a conversation about our spouses, but how does it show up for you personally? When do you tend to take things personally, or how do you accomplish not taking it personally?
Well, this is Cheryl. I take her behavior, like in public or around, you know, in groups at school or church or something. I have always taken that very personally, and I've been able to step back a little bit from it. She's gotten better too, I think, but it's hard not to take it personally.
Yeah. Well, so what's the message you tend to give yourself? Like, what's the feeling, and then what's the thought behind it?
I feel embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I'm not a good parent, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't been able to teach her any better than that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's like no child of mine would, right?
Yeah.
And is that a realistic expectation?
No.
No, she says that she wants to say yes. No, it's not. So what is? So what can you replace that message with?
I guess whatever she does is okay as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Is that true for you?
No.
No. Okay, yeah. So it's got to be a message that actually rings true to you. What
but
was
I,
the message?
I mean,
go ahead.
I don't want to control her behavior too much, you know, or you know, she's very different than I am, and she's not a quiet little wallflower. So, and I probably wouldn't really want her to be.
So what do you want for her?
I guess I do. I want her to be accepted, or for people not to think she's weird.
Uh-huh. Is she a little weird?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or she's different.
A lot of our kids are, right? They're a little quirky.
Yes.
Right? So So is it people not seeing her as a little quirky, or is it, do you want her to be comfortable being herself?
Yeah, I do want her to be comfortable being herself.
Yeah.
And she's probably a lot more comfortable with that than I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe that's the message, like, you know, this is a little embarrassing for me, but thank goodness she feels so comfortable in her own skin.
Yeah.
And you can then go to, and I really want to work on this with her. Like, I really want to help her learn to manage this. Right. And, you know, and I've seen you over the years really learn to work with her and help her learn step by step to manage different parts of her quirky behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you are. You're doing it. It just takes time. It doesn't all happen at once.
Yes. Like yesterday we had some young men from church come over. Like they're like 20 years old, and she made them all little paper hats. Like she didn't say a word. She just went and made them and then gave them to them, and, you know, I don't know. They were pretty receptive, but just was quirky. Like,
quirky.
You know.
And sweet.
A little hat out of a white sheet of paper. You know, it doesn't fit on their head because it's very small. But I don't know.
The point was just that she was giving them a gift, right?
Yes. Yes.
Right. That's where getting into her mind is hard but critical. Right?
Yes.
So, and maybe that's it for a lot of the scenarios that we've gotten, we get to, is that if we can get clear on what's the feeling we're having when we take things personally and what's the message we're telling ourselves, then we can write a new script. So instead of the script being, I must not be a good parent, it may be, well, that's the next place for me to work on with her, right? Or instead of, I don't want people to see her as quirky, it may be, I'm really glad she's comfortable in her own skin. And I don't want to make up for you what it is, Cheryl, or any of you, but I think that the point is that one method for not taking it personally is to come up with a new message you tell yourself. So, Lisa, you were talking, what's the message that you created for yourself? Are you still here? No, it looks like she dropped off. Oops, sorry. I'm like waiting for her. So the message, I wrote it down earlier, she said, you know, assume best intentions, that they're doing the best that they can do, right? And that when you switch your mindset, it has this magical impact. Or it did for her, and I think it does for a lot of people. Lisa, is that you? Are you back?
Yes, sorry. I tried to unmute, and I ended the call.
That's okay. That's what I sort of figured. So I was just saying that your message was they're doing the best that they can do. And when
right.
you shifted to that, what happened for you?
Oh, it was like a release. It took all everything that I put on myself as far as like I'm a bad parent for them acting like this, why can't they do better, you know, everything from, you know, my own personal stuff that I was feeling to just recognizing that in most of their antics, they're meaning well. They really are. Like the lady who was talking about her daughter making paper hats for the older boys,
mm-hmm.
That is my older daughter to a T. She is constantly making these quirky little gifts for people all around her, her classmates, her sisters, her parents, you know. And I have to recognize that that's really her, she's being thoughtful about other people, which is great. And that's how it manifests itself in this, you know, little quirky things. But the good news is that she's thinking about others.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so what was the message? I guess I heard several messages in there that you replaced. You had messages of "I'm not a good parent," etc., right? And when you replace them with this, what's possible for how you approach her?
With more calm, with more understanding, with more curiosity. You know, oh, why did you do that? Instead of why did you do that? And it has made me, it really has been a total mind shift for me in the last couple of days. So, and I hope it's not fleeting. I don't think it is, and that's why I want to keep working on it, you know, this week. And if I can kind of get my husband there as well, that would be great.
Right. So what's a structure that you could use to sort of cement yourself to it? What's something that may remind you of it, whether it's a visual or a, you know, rock in your pocket or a picture or a quote or whatever?
I think for me, it's just the fact that it's clicked in my head, and now before I have any kind of interaction with them, that's the first thing that goes through my mind. Even before they've done anything, I say they're doing the best they can. It's not, I mean, they are the reminder, whereas before they weren't, but now they are, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't know if that makes sense. But.
No, it makes perfect sense. It does.
Yes.
And what I want to offer is that sometimes when we externalize a reminder, and so for, in this case, it may be their physical presence, right?
Right.
But sometimes we call it using a structure in coaching, but when you externalize something, it can help hold on to an aha that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes for me, it may be a rock in my pocket, you know, one of those rocks that have affirmations on it or something. I use jewelry as a structure, like, you know, I'll put on a particular bracelet to remind myself of a message or an aha, something I want to connect with. I'm a big believer in using jewelry as a structure. But sometimes it may be putting a screensaver on your desktop with a particular image. But beginning to think in terms of what will remind me to stay connected to this idea that's important to me. Just a little concept for everybody that when you've got something that you want to stay connected to, it's a great way to externalize it. So as we begin to bring this conversation to a close a little bit, let's look at the final four questions. What do you feel like you focused on in this conversation today? What were you paying attention to? And what's your clarity or your takeaway? So let's start with that. Either of those. What were you focusing on, or what's your clarity from today? Anybody can start when you're ready.
Okay, this is Gina. I'll go. Actually, what I really focused on today was what a couple of the other women talked about with their husband. I was really in tune with that. And actually, because I feel like that's more me, not my husband. I kind of feel like I might be that way with my older son. Like, there's not a real, I don't know, maybe that real true emotional connection that I've always wished for. I find it difficult to connect with him. I try really hard. That's why I decided to join this group. But I know with my husband has ADD, and I think sometimes he's able to just let stuff roll off, you know, or he doesn't hear some of the comments that my son makes. So I think that's a positive sometimes. Although, like last night, my husband was talking, and I think my son, I can't really remember the conversation, but I know my son was getting a little irritated, and he wanted to say something, and he told his dad to shush. And I don't think my husband heard it, but I did, and so I was like, did you just tell your dad to shush? You know, and thinking about what you're talking about today, I don't know if I should have just ignored it as well, but I think it's those things that I really want my son to realize that he can't speak to us that way. So
right. Well, so, and that's the thing, is like, is it he can't speak to us that way, or is it I want to help him learn to speak to us more respectfully because he may not realize it's rude?
Yeah, it's the second one. And, you know,
right.
I feel like I've explained that to him until I'm blue in the face, you know, about
You have explained it. So sometimes it's not about explaining, it's just gentle or respectful redirection.
Okay.
You know, it may be as simple as, do you have another way to say that? I don't know that, or I'm sure you didn't mean to be rude. Can you say that more respectfully?
Okay, I like that.
Right, and to say it really respectfully, because if you say it, do you have another way to say that, then you're being just as rude as he was.
Yeah, exactly, and that's part of my problem. Very often,
we model these behaviors for them, and then we get mad when they throw them back in our faces.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, yeah. And, you know, I think sometimes it's a little bit more challenging also for me than my husband because, you know, I am with them the majority of the time. So I get worn out and, you know, but, I mean,
right.
We've had that, yeah. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, cool. So what action do you want to commit to from here today?
To making sure that when I respond to him, that it's making sure that I'm being respectful and not acting the same way that he just did.
Great. Cool.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? What were you focusing on? What's your clarity? And what action do you want to commit to? Who else? I know there's still people on the call.
This is Megan. I'll go because I actually have to get off the call really soon.
Okay.
I was just thinking about, you know, what you said about in talking to my husband to frame it in a way that I'm having compassion for how he's feeling and understand how he's feeling.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I just want to take aim on working on an approach where we say we're working together.
Great. Great. So, and I'm going to add to that, I think what I'm hearing is to approach that from compassion for him.
Yes.
For his experience with it. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Who else?
This is Lisa Algo. Another caller talked about how her daughter was kind of nothing like her, and mine are kind of the same way. I realized, though, that they don't have to be like me for me to enjoy them and for me to enjoy them and they to enjoy me. So I think it's all part of this mindfulness of the pause before the reaction that I've been trying to work on. So I'm going to keep working on that this week.
Great. Great. Anybody else? I love the pause before the reaction. Cheryl, what about you? I think she got dropped off. Oops. Did we miss anybody? I think I see Megan. Did we get you?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're good. All right. So any sort of final words of wisdom or closure for anybody this week? Cool. So just as always, I want to acknowledge you for having the tough conversation. And this is not an easy one to have, but when we get in there and we're able to see ourselves and our spouses and our kids as humans for who we are instead of like some expectation of who we think everybody should be, it really opens up the world for some amazing, amazingly improved relationships. So I just want to acknowledge you for sticking with it and hope everybody has a good couple of weeks, and we will talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.